Australia's weather agency said today there's no sign of cooler temps or significant rainfall in the next few months. That's bad news for a country where thousands of acres of bush and tropical forest are burning. Brent Dunn is an architect. He lives a couple hours south of Sydney. His home is safe so far, but he's seen the impact of the fires. And you can hear the impact, too, because his home is now surrounded by birds.
The birds have gone crazy. All of the birds have been displaced from the bushfire area. So we've got a lot of lorikeets, parrots, cockatoos, kookaburras, you know, just thousands of other rainforest birds up here.
Dunn described for us the fire scene that unfolded recently while he was camping in New South Wales.
We have a small block of land which we camp on over Christmas as a holiday. So normally we would be relaxing, fishing, going surfing, going to the beach, you know, with a group of us. And this year it was very nervous. The whole place was covered in smoke. The sky was orange most of the time. On New Year's Eve, when the fires flared there with somebody shaking our tent very early in the morning, saying, you know, everyone's getting out, you've got to do something. You know, standing out of the tent that morning was quite terrifying. The wind was like getting hit by a massive hairdryer. It was the driest, hottest sort of thump of wind I think I've ever felt in my life. Then during the day, the telecommunications went down, power went down. We didn't know if the roads were cut. We didn't know if we could get in or out. There was an evacuation centre set up in Maruya, and a few people went in there to sort of see if it was safer to spend the night in there, only to find, you know, basketball courts with babies on porta-cots on the floor and dogs and people distraught having lost homes that morning. So the next few days were a real eye-opener. I mean, for us, we were camping, so we already have ourselves set up to be reasonably self-reliant as we tend to do on holidays. But, you know, people in those areas suddenly lost power, which meant they couldn't get any water because their water pumps wouldn't work. They're not on a town water supply. Refrigeration disappeared and, you know, there was no ice, there was no petrol. Had to close the supermarkets and guard them because there was pressure of people trying to push the doors in. It was the closest we've sort of come to an apocalyptic vision. But, you know, in all of that, the beauty was the community and the way that people came together was beautiful. I mean, some of the astonishing atmospheric conditions we've seen, one day we could look west where there was a lifting blanket of smoke across the mountain ranges, and between the horizon and where the smoke started, there was a small gap between the, you know, if you can imagine a slot of sky, and the sun was starting to set through that, and there was almost what could only be described as a rainbow. There's a rainbow between the earth and the sky underneath the clouds. You know, we're an architecture practice, so we've come back with some very serious questions for ourselves about how can we contribute to the rebuilding and how can we contribute to the information. You know, this is big picture stuff. This is climate changed. It's not changing anymore. The coal emissions are driving climate change. And, you know, we should be leading this. We've got the most beautiful country. We all love it here and we have such a great lifestyle. And yet, you know, this has been apocalypse for 2 weeks here.
Brent Dunn speaking with us from the rural town of Thirroul, New South Wales, Australia. He told his story to The World's Stephen Snyder.